Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Tonight I would like to continue the series on faith. In fact, when I prepared a lesson again, it's amazing I wrote this lesson almost 2 years ago. And when I come back and study to prepare for teaching, I learn more. And it's God really spoke into my heart and make me have deeper understanding about faith and about confession. So it's true when the Bible talk about the Word of God is like a medicine to your flesh, is like food to your spirit. So the more you learn, the more you read, the more you study, the more you listen, the more revelation, the deeper understanding. Something that you read the first time, you see this much, but when you study the second time, the third time, you begin to have a deeper understanding of what God tried to teach you. And it's wonderful. You know, I love the Word of God. I love to study different subjects in the Bible and try to practice what I learned. Today we want to talk about how to turn our faith loose. Last, if you go back to listen to the first series about faith that we preached 2 years ago in year 2004, you will understand that faith is of the heart. It's not of the mind or of the brain, but it's of the heart. We talk about that in detail for 2 to 3 hours. I would like to review that scripture again. Romans chapter 10 verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. So with the heart one believes. Believe in the heart. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We want to be doers of your words, not just hearers, Father. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the Holy Spirit, our teacher. Father, tonight, the teacher of our church is the Holy Spirit. It's not me, Father. I'm just your vessel. May your Holy Spirit speak to every single soul, speaking to every child, son and daughter of your kingdom in this place, Lord. May you also speak to everyone who listened to this CD teaching as well. In Jesus' mighty name, Amen. So last time we learned about faith in the heart. Today and the next session, we're going to learn more about confession. Lose the faith from your heart. How to lose it to make something happen. We're going to talk about confession. You can see in Romans chapter 10 verse 10, we talk about faith in the heart and talk about mouth, confession from your mouth. Okay? Look at another scripture. Mark chapter 11 verse 23. When you read this scripture carefully, you see the same pattern. Faith in the heart and confession with the mouth. For actually I say to you, whoever say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Everyone see heart, you see? No, doubt or faith is in the heart, but believes that those things he says. You can see here, whoever says to this mountain, the things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Wow. So you can see two issues here, two aspects. The heart belief and the mouth that says or confess. Before I go into detail about confession of faith, I'm going to talk about four kinds of confession first so that we understand the word confession completely before we go into the word confession of faith. There are four kinds of confession. And two of them are related to us. Another two not to us, but we need to know so that we can help other people. The first confession is the Jews' confession of sin in the time of Jesus and John the Baptist. In Mark chapter 1, verses 4 to 5, you need to understand that the Jews at that time already believed in Jehovah. They believed in Messiah. They considered themselves as children of God because the whole nation believed in God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Who were confessing their sins? The Jews. Okay, the Jews that came to John. And John preached the message of repentance. At that time, Jesus had not died on the cross yet. Jesus had not been resurrected yet. But they confessed their sin to God. And this is not the baptism of Christian. This is the baptism of John. John did not baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this is a specific kind of confession of the Jews at the time of Jesus, which is not applicable to us at all. But I need to mention, in order to complete the teaching about confession, let's go to the next one. The confession of the sinner under the new covenant. We are under the new covenant. But the confession of the sinner is different from our confession. This is a second kind of confession that we need to understand. In John chapter 16, verses 7 to 11, John chapter 16, verses 7 to 11, these are very interesting scriptures. I'm going to read to you, and it's so important that we understand this very well, because if we will reach out to the lost, we need to understand how we help the lost or sinners come to the kingdom of God. And most of the teaching tonight going to be on this subject, okay? Nevertheless, I tell you, who is I, Jesus? I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, meaning the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict the world of sin. The world mean the lost. The world mean sinners of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Three things that the Holy Spirit will convict the lost or the sinners. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin. Now, Jesus tried to explain what does it mean. Conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Verse 9, Jesus began to explain. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Okay. This is interesting. Jesus said that sinners are convicted by the Holy Spirit of their sin. And if you notice that Jesus emphasized that the main sin of the sinners is not go out to rob people, kill people, commit adultery, or to cheat the company, or kill anybody. But the main root of the sin, of all sins that Jesus talked about, is rejecting the Son of God. Okay, that is the first thing that the non-believer or the unsaved must confess. They must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, Lord and Savior, and he died for their sin. Without this confession, other confessions are useless. This is very important. Okay? Why Jesus emphasized that way? When I prepare this lesson, I begin to understand from the teaching of the Holy Spirit that by nature, sinners do not understand sin anyway. They do not even know that not giving 10% to God is sin. They don't even know that if they don't love somebody, it's sin. They cannot recognize sin in the eyes of God without Jesus inside them. So the first step to come into understanding about sin is to accept Jesus Christ into their heart. To agree with God that rejecting Jesus Christ is the most core or the most root, the root of all sin is to reject Jesus Christ. And after they accepted Jesus Christ into their heart, the Holy Spirit comes in, and then the Holy Spirit began to reveal other sins in their life. I remember when I was a non-believer, I don't care much about lying, even though I may know that lying is not good. I may not care much about being selfish, about taking advantage of people. It's how can I confess those sins if I don't even care about it? Until Jesus Christ come into my life, and then I begin to see that, oh, those things are bad. Those things are grieving to God, cause displeasing to God. So, as a believer, if you want to go out and really help non-believer to come to God, you don't go to them and say, how many sins you commit today? Confess your sin right now, and you shall be saved. That is a big mistake. The first confession, the most important confession of a sinner that he must do or she must do is to confess that Jesus Christ died for them and is their Lord and Savior. Amen. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 say, if you, mean a non-believer, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see that the Bible did not say if you confess 1,100 sins of your life, then you will be saved. No. How a sinner be saved? By confessing Jesus Christ. And I witnessed with my own eyes in this trip. In fact, it really shocked me. I walk into one lady, I think on Friday night, during the laying on of hands, one lady came, kind of stand a little bit fearful because she saw a lot of people fall down and drunk in the Holy Spirit. And she kind of, in one sense, she want to be there to be prayed for. And in another sense, she kind of worry what can happen to her. She was standing on the side of the, close to the wall of the church. So it happened that I walked by her and I thought that she was one of the believers and want to be laid hand on. She was looking at my eyes kind of scared. So I know right away that this might not be a believer. So I asked her, do you believe in Jesus yet? She said, no, I'm not a Christian. And I asked her, do you want to believe in Jesus and accept him? I just asked like that, simple. And she kind of stood there for a minute thinking what she should do. And I encouraged her more, jump across the wall, accept Christ. Don't worry about it. Repent of your sin and accept Christ. God will take care of you. And she nodded her head, yes. So I led her to accept Jesus Christ. You need to understand, she never have any knowledge in the Bible. She was maybe the first time in the church, never seen anything else, just first time in the church. So she prayed and accepted Christ. After she accepted Christ, I lay hand on her. And she spoke in tongue. It's really, this really changed my theology. That number one, God is so gracious. God is not the God like, oh, you need to know a lot of Bible before I fill you with the Holy Spirit. God is so gracious. She's just brand new Christian, never read the Bible. She just confessed Jesus. In the eyes of God, she's saved. And she's a candidate to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongue. I never taught her about speaking in tongue. No one taught her. She's a kind of guest of somebody there. It's amazing. So I can see now, when I look back on last Friday, I see that the most important confession, the primary confession, the initial confession the sinners have to do is not to say, I'm sorry, I cheat, I commit adultery, I do this. And the first confession is to accept Jesus Christ into their life. So from now on, when you want to evangelize, don't try to go to tell people, you need to shape up your life first. You need to quit lying, cheating, doing stuff, and then God gonna love you. No, 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 no. The first sin that they must repent and must turn around is to accept, to admit that they used to reject Jesus Christ as the Son of the Living God and the Savior, and now they confess to accept Jesus Christ. And that is the open door for other things to come in. And I'm going to tell you a story later on because I'm going to emphasize this later. So that is the second kind of confession. I'm going to go through quickly here and then we'll emphasize each one in detail. Number three. So number one, the Jews' confession of their sin at the time of Jesus. Number two, the confession of the sinner under the new covenant. Number three, the believers, you and me, confession of his or her sin. So as believers, we need to confess our sin too. You remember First John chapter 1 verse 9? You remember, if you confess your sin, God is just, he will cleanse all of your unrighteousness. So we as Christian, we need to confess our sin too. The Bible says in James chapter 5 verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. So you can see that James wrote to the believer that you need to confess your sin toward one another. The fourth kind of confession. Four kinds of confession. The fourth kind of confession, the believer's confession of faith. And this is what we're going to emphasize next session and a little bit in this session. Confession of faith. Everyone say confession of faith. This is not the confession of sin. This is the confession of faith in the Word, in Christ, and in God the Father. Amen. So we need to understand the distinction of all these kind of confessions so that we will not get confused. Again, at the Jordan River, the Jews, they already know God and they came to be baptized by John and they confessed their sin. But look at another example for the believers, that people who never knew God accepted Jesus Christ and confessed their sin. Look at Acts chapter 19, verse 18. I'm not sure I put in, sent to you or not. Let me read this. Acts chapter 19, verse 18. And many who had believed, this is in a Gentile city, many Gentiles who had believed, believe in who? Believe in Jesus, came confessing and telling their deeds. Definitely, these are the Gentile Christians who came and say, I am wrong. I worship idols. And they confessed their sin in the ministry of Paul at that time. Amen. They are not confessing their sins in order to get saved. They're confessing the sin to get right with God. In order to get saved, what is the first confession? The answer. After I talk this long, confess that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Don't reject Jesus anymore. So that is a confession to be saved, to come into the kingdom. How about the confession to heal the fellowship between us and God? Confession of sin. After you get saved, then you begin to fellowship with God. But every time we sin against God, we break the relationship with God. We break the fellowship. I want to call fellowship with God. Amen. A lot of times when we go out to evangelize, we put the cart before the horse. In other words, you try to go to the non-believers and say, you need to shape up your life, you need to confess your sin right now, otherwise God will not love you, God will not accept you. You know, that is a wrong way of evangelism. The first thing is to lead people to know Jesus. You don't worry about their lifestyle yet, because they will never change their lifestyle until they know Jesus anyway. Why you worry about their lifestyle? You get, the first step is to get them to know Jesus and accept Jesus Christ. Amen. And that is the true faith. What happened? I give you example about a Foursquare missionary. He went to Brazil in 1950. And at the beginning of his ministry, he had only 37 people in his Sunday school class. He was there for many years and he was so discouraged. And one day he began to fast and pray and ask God for direction. You know, Brazil is a city with, is a country with a lot of Catholics. So one day God really showed him that he was doing a wrong way, the way he evangelized. So he changed the way of reaching out to the unsaved in Brazil. And at the end of his ministry, he got 268,000 people saved and more than 100,000 people filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. Is that a good number? 268,000 people saved in his ministry while he was there and until he retired and come back home. But the turnaround of his ministry is this understanding about the confession of sinner. Because at the beginning, he tried to argue with them that they're wrong. They need to change. You need to change. Otherwise, God will not save you. And then one day, after he fast and prayer, he begin to find out that, no, it's not about going to point finger to people and say, you are wrong first, but point finger for them to know Jesus first. So what happened? The missionary, begin to reach out to this Catholic. And this is what he said. In the Catholic Church, they sang a song called The Blood of Jesus. So in his church, he bring that song in and begin to sing the same song. He said that I will not argue with these people anymore that you are wrong. He will not try to argue about religion and their faith and my faith. Point finger, you are wrong. You need to give up the idol. You need to throw away the picture of Mary, picture of Saint Peter. He said, it's not going to help. He just sing the song that they sing. And when these Catholic people walk by his church, they heard it. They say, oh, I want to go in and check out why they sing the same song. So when they came in, they asked him, are you Catholic? He would say, yes, I'm Catholic, but I'm not Roman Catholic. I'm Catholic. Because if you say I'm Catholic, it's not unbiblical. You know what? The word Catholic means universal church. We are Catholic too. We are part of the universal church. But we are not Roman Catholic. So he said, I'm Catholic. He didn't argue. He didn't try to fight. You know? So these people join in. And what he did is that he will preach about Jesus and get these people to accept Jesus Christ. And if they ask him, do you believe in Mary? He said, yeah, I believe even more than you. Okay, listen carefully. He said like this, because Mary was in the upper room. Oh, really? Mary was in the upper room. Show me the Bible. So these Catholic people come in, look at the Bible in the upper room. Mary was speaking in tongue, filled with the Holy Spirit. So all these Catholic people say, oh, okay, I like to be like Mary. So pray for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongue, because Mary was speaking in tongue. So he said he didn't argue anything. He just put these people kneel down and start to lead them to pray to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior first. And then lay hand on them and they all were filled with the Holy Spirit. And he did not tell them to quit Catholic Church. He did not tell them to throw away the idols. He did not tell them to stop the mass. He just preached the truth and don't argue with wrong things that they do in their life, in their Catholic Church. And you know what happened? Because after they accepted Jesus Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit came in and began to do the conviction. One lady, this is a kind of example of the true story. One lady came to this missionary, Four Square missionary, and say, "Pastor, since I know you and accept Jesus Christ, for some reason, every time I went to the mass at my Catholic church, I feel so empty. I feel like nothing. And I'm thinking about maybe just quit and come here." And you know what he answered? He did not attack Catholic. He said, "Whatever the Lord leads you." So eventually, one by one, by the conviction and the teaching of the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, they came to his church and get saved and get filled with the Holy Spirit and serve the Lord. So you can see here that don't go and argue and attack any religion. I think the most important thing is to lead people to Jesus Christ and to meet the Holy Spirit and preach the word, the truth in the Bible. Don't attack anybody, because when you try to attack anybody or any religion, you turn them off and they walk away. Amen. So eventually this lady joined in, and the Holy Spirit is the one who guide her and lead her. This is called wisdom. So from now on, you think after you listen to this lesson, you change the style of evangelism? Huh? You change the style? You need to what? Preach Jesus. Lead people to Jesus. Amen. Confessing Jesus. There is another missionary who warned many Roman Catholics. And he said the same thing, that one day God revealed to him that don't go and tell these people about anything that they do wrong. He just go and preach Jesus alone and let the Holy Spirit work. So, I mean, this story repeat again and again about how to evangelize. So the same way on last Saturday night when I performed wedding ceremony, I don't attack any religion. I didn't say anything against any their belief. I just preach Jesus. That's it. And I would just talk about Jesus, so that I want them to hear about Jesus Christ and eventually accept Jesus Christ. And once they accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will begin to work in their life and they will be changed little by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. There is another story about a pastor went to visit a man who was very quite sick, and the wife wanted him to pray for him. And the pastor said, "Why don't you come to church?" The man was not a believer. The man answered that, "You know, I don't want to be there. Every time I go there, I feel conviction. I feel bad. That I have to give up drinking, give up smoking, and have to dress nice, and have to be this good person. I feel that I cannot do it." In fact, the husband said, "I try to come back home and do it. I try to change, I try to quit smoking, I try to quit drinking, try to dress nice, stop yelling at my wife. But after a few months, I do it again. So I kind of give up and I don't want to show up in the church anymore, because I feel so out of place there." And the pastor say, "Oh, I hope I don't offend you." He said, no, you never offend me. But my wife keep telling me like this, "Honey, this is what you need to do so God will love you. This is what you need to change. You need to quit that, quit this." You can see that a lot of believers don't understand how to help sinners to be saved. You understand? Instead of going and telling people the law that they need to do this and quit doing that, doing this and quit doing that, the best thing is to bring them to the love of Jesus first and let Jesus come into their life. Amen. Okay, so are we going to change the way we reach out to people? Hallelujah. And believe me, when they accept Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit go inside them, the Holy Spirit will begin to work and cleanse that person little by little. Amen. So the confession the sinners must make is the confession of Jesus Christ is Lord. Don't try to demand any sinner to confess their sin. It's like if you try to demand a sinner to confess their sin, it's like a governor go to a jail and walk to a criminal in the jail and say, you must confess right now that you are wrong. And that criminal say, I already here. I'm wrong. What are you talking about? I'm in jail right now. The same thing, sinners already sin. Sinners already reject God. Sinners already belong to the devil. And you ask sinner to say, yeah, I'm wrong. So what is the benefit? I confess that I'm wrong. Yeah, they're already in jail. So what you need to do is to go there and say, no, no, no. Now you need to confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord. That is the right way to do. Amen. So please don't go around and point finger to anybody. Don't go around. Lately God, Holy Spirit really deals with me a lot. You know, I want to share with you that one of the reasons I love revival is that I see daily changes in my life. When I lay hand on people, even though people get touched by God, but in fact the Holy Spirit touched me too. Because I am a conduit, is right you call. I'm a conduit of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit really touched me every Sunday and every time I lay hand, and he begin to change me. And one of the things that he changed me lately is to have more love for people unconditionally. I usually judge people, not judge sinners. I judge people who hurt my feeling. But for the past few weeks, I begin to understand about the unconditional love of God more. It's hard to explain that God really, the Holy Spirit, the fire of God really cleansed me to the point that now, even I heard that somebody talk bad about me, I just love that person. And now when I look at sinners, I don't judge them anymore. I don't say, wow, this is a bad guy. I just feel love. I just feel the love of God. You know, many times in my car, when I think about all, in fact, this trip, I met all of my relatives at my age, my niece, my cousins, and my uncle and aunts, all of them about 70, 80 years old now. And when I look at their eyes, my heart's like, oh, I want to come here for a few months and I want to visit every single home and preach the gospel to them. I feel that way. And then sometimes I still drive on, you know, in Bellevue area, and I thought their face come up. And I tell you, this is a true story. I cried in my car. I was crying because the love of God was so pouring out to them. And I know God loved them. I know that God wants these people to be saved. I don't judge them anymore that they this and that and lie and cheat and reject God. And it's just the love of God that God loves sinners so much. Now I understand the feeling of God because the Holy Spirit just working on the inside of me. That's why I want you to really stay in revival and stay in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because he's going to keep working in your life little by little, keep adjusting you, changing you until you become like Christ. And I know that this is not me, because by my nature, I would judge people. I would judge sinners. In order to be able to reach out to sinners, we need to love them, because if you go in with kind of attitude of pointing fingers, how can you lead them to Christ? You cannot. You need to go to them with love and the love of God. Amen. So I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch you every Sunday, every day when you pray at home, every time when you stay, when you do the Bible study or devotion time. I learned one thing about the Word and the Holy Spirit lately, I begin to see more and more that the Word of God is preached to us to change our thinking and mindset so that we have the right mindset. But in fact, even though you know that loving sinner is correct, good thing to do, and you should do it, your mindset is right that you need to love sinners. You should not point finger to sinners. You should not judge them, condemn them. But I learned that I cannot do it by myself. So how the Holy Spirit involved in this? The Holy Spirit come in and just burn. The fire of God will burn your old life, your old Lao, Varun, Mom. Burn it by the power of God. Burn it away, my old self. And by His power, He move on the inside of me. Even though I know what is right, that I should do, but I cannot do. But because of the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, He burned the old thing and He begin to move on the inside of me to increase the things and the character and the person Jesus Christ on the inside of me. Wow, what a beautiful ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to welcome the Holy Spirit into our life. Amen. You can have the whole head knowledge inside here, but you cannot do it without the person, the Holy Spirit, working fully inside of you. I really have this experience lately about loving sinners and loving people who act like my enemies, that they talk bad or you know, it's real. 2 days ago, Pastor Da told me about somebody criticized me, and it's amazing. In the past, I would be like, I'm going to do something. Lately, I mean, she told me, and I love this person. Oh, pray for this person. It's just amazing. I know it's a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not myself. Amen. So, lead them to confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then the Holy Spirit come in and He will shine the light for them to see their daily sin one by one. If they don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, the non-believers, they need to be saved first by accepting Jesus. And after accepting Jesus, the Holy Spirit come in, then they begin to see the light. They begin to see the darkness and the light and understand that their lifestyle need to be changed. Now, when we talk about confessing Jesus for sinners, look at another scripture. I go into detail here. Because we are here anyway, we just go into detail. Matthew chapter 10, 32 to 33. Therefore, Matthew 10, 32 to 33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So one thing that the Bible emphasized about confession of the unbelievers is this. Number one, confession must be vocal. With your mouth. You remember the Bible say in Romans chapter 9 verses, chapter 10 verses 9 to 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, Jesus is your Lord, and believe in your heart. So the confession must be vocal. People need to hear. Secondly, it must be public. It should not be quiet. It should be public. That's why in order to lead sinners to Christ, we need to let that sinner speak out verbally, vocally from their mouth and have witnesses publicly. Or you can be the witness yourself. The confession of Jesus Christ as Lord must be vocal and public, or be open. Not quietly, not in their own bedroom alone. When they have to be willing to do that way. Why? Have you ever thought that why God put this spiritual law? When you live in America, you have to follow the governmental law. Is that right? It's a law in the US. The same thing in the spiritual kingdom. God set His law. And one of the law is this. If you want to be saved, you need to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and confess it publicly. Why? I don't fully understand, but this is what I think. Is that number one, it breaks the power of darkness upon that person's life. It announces the cut off the ownership of Satan. It's powerful. It cuts off and it proclaims that from today on, my life is immediately under Jesus' supervision, Jesus' care, Jesus' protection, and His salvation. If you confess publicly and verbally and vocally, you announce to the world and to the devil that I am not belonging to you anymore. I am belonging to Jesus, and Jesus is my Lord now. Amen. That's why the Bible says we must confess before men. Confession is very powerful. Amen. I'm glad that we, Pastor Da's high school friend confessed on last Sunday that Jesus Christ is her Lord. I'm so excited. This is the highlight of my trip. Get one of our friends saved. Oh, I was so rejoicing. Just worth of all the money that we spent is to have that lady saved. And she told me that she's gonna take her son to the church. Two sons. Very smart son too. So we will see what happened in this whole family. Amen. Okay. Now we're gonna talk about the believer confessing his sin or your sin. This is a third kind of confession. Once we become a Christian, we begin to fellowship with the Father and with one another. Is that right? What breaks that relationship, that fellowship? What breaks the fellowship between you and God? Sin. So in order to maintain the fellowship, you need to confess your sin as soon as possible if you know that you are sinning. But I'm going to try to teach this in more detail, how you apply this into your life. Let's look at this scripture. We need to read this many, many times to understand it. It's very, a little bit difficult to understand. 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 to 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 to 10. You need to listen carefully, okay? Because if you just doze off or think about something else, you may miss it. Very difficult scripture to understand. That which we have seen and heard. He's talking about who? Jesus. John saw Jesus and heard Jesus spoke. We declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, in verse 3, John tried to say that we declare to you Jesus. And after you accept Jesus, then you and I can fellowship with one another because we become a children of God. You cannot fellowship with non-believers. Fellowship is only for believers because we have the same God. And then John continued to say that, and that fellowship among believers, may have fellowship with us. Actually, that fellowship is based on truly our fellowship with the Father. So the fellowship in the church will be strong only if we all repent and confess our sin and have the fellowship with the Father in a strong way all the time. You see the connection? You get saved, then you come into the church. You can fellowship, but then fellowship between men or between believers are based on the fellowship with the Father in heaven. And now John going to continue to say how you can keep that fellowship with the Father. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. You can see. John emphasized that our God is light. Therefore, living in sin or in darkness really pull us away from fellowshipping with Him. In fact, one thing that I may try to change or do more in our church is to emphasize the issue of holiness and repenting of our sin in the church. You know, there are many styles of preaching. One style is to preach about how to do this, how to do that, which is okay, the principle in the Bible, so that you will be successful. But at the same time, God told me lately that I really want my people to live a holy life. No playing game. No, just I want them to really take serious about repenting, confessing their sin, and shape up their life. Because the Bible says, be holy because I am holy. So God really wants us to be holy people, to be righteous people. You can see God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, listen carefully. If we say that we are Christians and we have good relationship with God, with Him, fellowship with Him, but we walk in darkness, we lie. Wow. And do not practice the truth. In other words, John tried to warn believers that if you really say that you are Christian, you have fellowship with God, but you just continue to live in darkness, in sin all the time, you don't care, you don't repent, you don't confess your sin, you lie. Wow. This is talking about believers here, that we need to really take serious about walking in the light, not in darkness. Amen. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. So if we walk in the light, we really repent of our sin, confess our sin all the time, we walk in the light all the time. How we can walk in the light and have fellowship with God? Actually, John, when John wrote this scripture, John knew that it's impossible for you and me to live a pure life all the time, to be without sin like Jesus 100% a day, 24 hours a day, 60 minutes an hour. He knows. He knows that Christian cannot live a completely perfect life like Jesus Christ. But we are changing day by day to become like Him, and we live less and less and less sin as time go by. How we're going to resolve this issue, that how we're going to continue to walk in the light, have fellowship with the Father, and our fellowship with one another will be strong. How? This is the answer. Verses 8 and 9. Come to the answer. Are you following me? Do I make you confused? Okay, clear. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. In other words, if a Christian say, you know, hey, I've become a Christian already, I know Jesus, I fellowship with the Father, I never sin, I'm fine, you know, I just go to church every Sunday, I'm a good man, nothing wrong with me. The Bible say, you lie. Because in reality, even though you are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are righteous in the eyes of God, but in the real practical life, you still sin. You still make mistake, fall, you fall, you do this, you have bad attitude, you think in the wrong way, you know, you judge somebody, you criticize somebody, you still sinning every single day in a sense, because we are living in the sinful body. Is that right? John said, if you say you never sin at all, the truth is not in us. If you say we never sin, and this is the key, the answer. How to get back into the light and into the fellowship with the Father, and the fellowship with one another. This is the answer. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. This scripture were written for Christians, giving us the key to live in good fellowship with the Father all the days of our life. Give us the key to purify ourselves every single minute and every single day. Amen. What is the key? We make mistake. We sin. We have wrong attitude sometime. Maybe some of you say, once a while. But for me, I have wrong attitudes many times a day. Because I'm still living in this flesh. And I'm not perfect yet. The Bible want to, John tried to say this. Once you know by the conviction of the Holy Spirit that you sin against God, you should right away repent and confess the sin at the spot. Restore the fellowship with the Father as soon as possible. There is a confession of sin for believers. We need to take this seriously. Amen. For your personal spiritual walk, you need to take this seriously. Amen. You know, that confession of sin is a key to the door back to fellowship with God, fellowshipping with God. Amen. Because if we say that we never sin, we lie. Amen. We all sin. Now, I'm going to go beyond this now. So you know the key. You understand about fellowship with the Father. You understand that in order to get back to fellowship, to go back in the light again, is to confess, repent, and confess our sin. But this is the problem of many Christians. On another, so you can see that there are two extremes of Christian. One extreme is this. I'm fine. What are you talking about? I'm the best Christian in the world. My wife has a problem, not me. She is the one who has a problem with me. I'm fine. I work hard. I earn the living. I clean my house. I wash dishes. She is the problem, not me. I don't have to confess my sin. I'm fine. This is one extreme, okay? And you see that in the church, that somebody is so self-righteous. I've never been anything wrong. I never done anything wrong. I'm a perfect Christian. I'm very mature. Oh, I know a lot of Bible. I don't need to do anything. I'm great. I read a lot of books. I know what all these teachers teach about in the body of Christ. I know everything. So that's one extreme. That so self-righteous. But another extreme that I'm going to talk about right now is this. That these people, this group of Christians, after they confess their sin, and they keep digging it out. Oh, I'm bad. God will never forgive me. Oh, God, forgive me. That day, I think bad about my pastor. No, I just criticize him. I think bad. 2 hours later, God, I don't think you forgive me. I think again. I think bad about him again. I don't think you forgive me. I'm a bad guy. I'm a bad Christian. I will never measure up to anything to you. You will never use me. You will never use me in a bad Christian. I always think bad about my pastor. That is another extreme. Of Christian who just keep condemning themselves, digging out the sin, thinking that God never listened to them, thinking that that God never forgive them, they're too bad for God to use them, they're not good enough for anything in the church. So these people will come sit in the church, do nothing, just sit and just, I'm not good enough. God will never forgive me. I'm a bad Christian. My dear brother and sister. And some Christians are like this. This extreme. Like this. Keep thinking. What sin am I? Maybe I sin again. I step on that paper. I sin. You know, these people we call sin consciousness. Thinking about sin all day long. This kind of attitude, this first attitude bring pride and self-righteousness. This, the second extreme Christian, I believe some of you see this kind of Christian. Maybe you are one of them. Who knows? This kind of Christian build weakness, doubt, and sin consciousness in their life. They never think that God forgives them. My dear brother and sister, you need to understand, God never lies. When God says that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, period. He forgives. Done. And you can stand in the presence of God again without guilt and condemnation. Done deal. Amen. That is a balanced Christian. Balanced Christian, if the monitor inside you, the voice of your conscience, tell you that you sin against God, you repent right away. You don't have to keep digging, looking for sin. You know, don't keep looking and digging what sin I have. You just listen to the voice of your conscience and the Holy Spirit inside of you. And then once you know, you confess right away and you believe what the Bible say. The Bible say, if you confess, God will forgive you and you forget about it and move on with your life. If God forget, will you forget? The problem is this. God forget already, but you don't forget. You still remember and keep digging it out. Look at what the Bible say to confirm what I try to teach you. Isaiah 43, verse 25. Everyone say forget. Everyone say confess and forget. Don't dig it out. Amen. Isaiah 43, 25. And you know, a lot of time, people do that to themselves. They don't forget. They sin, they confess, and they keep remember. They do the same thing to their friend in the church because they don't forget about their own sin. Then they don't forget about other people's sin either. They keep looking. Use the magnifying glass. They keep looking. Oh, you sin. You sin. And I don't want to talk to you anymore. That day you don't talk to me. That day you walk by me and you don't say hi to me. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I'll never forget that day that you don't talk and smile to me. I gotta keep remember this another 10 years. Have you seen that, those kind of people? Yes. A lot in the church. Isaiah 43, 25. I'm gonna come to the end. Why I talk about this? About faith. Why this is related to faith? Very important. Very important why we talk about this relating to faith. Okay? I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. You see, God say, I blot out your transgression for my own sake. Can you blot out other people's transgression for your own sake? Please, don't keep it. Don't remember other people's mistake for your own sake because you know who suffer. You suffer. That you remember other people's mistake. Okay, God tried to tell us something. One thing that God teach me, He never tell us to do anything that He will not do it Himself. Amen. If He tell you to, He tell you to blot out other people's transgression for His own sake, He will do it Himself. He will not just tell you and He doesn't do it. And I will not remember your sins. Thank God. Once you confess, He could forget. He don't remember. I don't know how He does it, but that's what He do. I don't know how God, He's so big that He can forget. Are you glad that God forget? If you come back to God, God, you remember that day I yelled to my wife. God said, what? What are you talking about? What day? I don't remember that you did because you confessed already. Amen. Look at Psalm 103 verses 1 to 3. Are you glad that we have this kind of God? I'm glad. Psalm 103 verses 1 to 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and that all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity? Is there any kind of sin that God will not forgive and forget? All kinds of sin, God forgives and forgets. Amen. You might have committed the worst sin in the world that you don't want to tell anyone even your own wife or your own husband. Bad sin. But God said, doesn't matter. I forgive that sin. And I remember them no more. God will never remember anything wrong about you if you confess. Look at Isaiah 1:18. I'm excited about this. I love it. I love that God is like this. Come now, let us reason together. Isaiah 1:18 says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Look at Psalm 103 verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. Wow. He throw from the east to the west, bam, and never see it again. He forget about it. He never want to see it again, and he doesn't want you to talk about it again. Period. Let me ask you, who tried to remind you of your sin and keep digging it out? Satan, the devil, and demons. So don't listen to the devil. If the devil come to you and say, you remember that day? You cheat. You lie. You say, you just ignore his voice. God, forget about it already. I'm not going to think about it anymore. Amen. Why? Why the devil likes to pull the old thing that you confess, keep bringing it up back again and again? Because that kind of lifestyle and attitude only brings weakness, doubt, and guilt, and condemnation. But if you are convinced by the promise of God and by the word of God that once you confess, you are forgiven and it's forgotten, done deal, don't think about it, you move on, you are righteous now. It builds faith. It builds strength. It builds self-confidence. And builds good morale to move on to do the good things again. So you can see, you can choose either way. You're going to choose to live in doubt, weakness, and sin consciousness, and condemnation, or you're going to live in victory, faith, or not. Amen. And also, I want to let you know, there is a connection between forgiveness and victory and healing. You need to be convinced first before you see victory in your life that your sins are forgiven. Because there is a connection between healing or victory. Anything about healing is mean you gain something in victory and forgiveness. Let me read the scripture. That's why this teaching is so important about faith. You cannot walk by faith to see the victory in your life if you still feel condemned and digging out the old sin again and again and think that God will never forgive you. It's very hard to have victory. Look at this. James chapter 5. Are you willing to forgive yourself? Are you willing to forgive other people? As God forgive and forget? Amen. James chapter 5, 14 to 15. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save sick. Everyone say save. Mean victory. Is that right? You come out from problem into victory. Save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. You can see that from verse 15 here, there's a connection between sickness and sin, forgiveness and healing. A lot of people still living in sickness and defeat and problem in their life because they never understand that God, once they confess, their sins are forgiven. You need to be convinced in your heart, have faith that God has forgiven you. And once you are convinced and have faith that God forgive you, then you can gain the healing. Amen. And not only that, the Bible also says that the prayer of the righteous man avail much. How you become righteous? How do you become righteous? Paying a lot of money to the church, doing good work to people, going and help clean up the house of a widow, adopting a baby from India. Does it make you righteous? No. You are righteous because you accept Jesus Christ into your heart and you believe in the finished work of the cross. And if you fall, what do you keep your righteousness? How do you keep your righteousness? Not by doing good, because your goodness is like a filthy rag in the eyes of God. How do you keep your righteousness? By confessing your sin. So, if you are not convinced that you are forgiven, how can you pray? You know, when I go to Thailand and I pray for sick people, I pray for people, or like one lady, or one thing that I learned about praying for people. I forget to share. Can I share a little bit? I learned one thing this time, actually a couple times already. When I lay hand on people to receive the Holy Spirit, and I learned that if a person struggle, I see so many young men and women in this trip lying on the floor and struggle like this, like very struggle and shake and struggle. I walked by many times and I watched them because they were on the floor for an hour and struggling. And some people just keep being tight and crying. And every time come to be prayed for, they look like they struggle something. And I walked by so many of these young people. And God began to show me that actually it's a fight between the devil inside and the Holy Spirit. So I began to tell them, cough, get them out. And they began to cough out the devil. And I tell you, they relax and they're free. It's interesting. How can I lay hand on these people and say, go, devil, in Jesus' name? How can I have confidence that the prayer or the speaking of the right, that I am righteous enough, I'm righteous man, to be able to command the devil to go, if I'm still digging my sin out and never believe that God forgive and forget about my sin? You can see it here. Why I keep teaching this for a long time. Because it's going to come to yourself that one day you may have to pray for somebody. You may have to pray for your kids. You may have to speak to certain thing in your life, to speak to the situation. And the Bible says the prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. You need to be convinced first that you are righteous. If you're not convinced you're righteous, how dare you exercise faith? The prayer of faith will save the sick. Amen. How many people want to see more miracles? How many people want to see your prayer get answered? Oh, another thing that I learned from Thailand trip is this. There is one movement long time ago from Toronto. Okay? In this movement, in revival, a lot of people have this kind of reaction when the Holy Spirit touched them. Have you ever seen this? Like this, have you ever seen? Maybe you never exposed to Toronto movement. Like this. And they call, I don't know how they call this term. Like, heaving? They sound like something, they shrug their shoulder and some sound like something shaking inside their stomach. And I see a lot in Thailand when last time. And I wonder, wow, this look like Toronto group, you know, Toronto group, like barking, making animal noise and like this. They chuck their shoulder and have jerking movement. And I say, I never seen this in my own church. And why these people? And then God showed me that actually, it's the same thing. It's a struggle between demon and the Holy Spirit fighting that because no one casts out demon for them. You just lay hand. The Holy Spirit anointing touch them, but the devil doesn't want to go. So I learned this. So a few ladies have this problem. I went to them and say, the devil want to come out, cough them out right now. They began to cough. Oh, they cough for almost half an hour. Oh, the devil come out and they came back this time, no one have that reaction anymore. Those who get set free in the last meeting I went last time in November. So I learned a lot about manifestation, why God is moving. You need to identify, is this demon? Is this the Holy Spirit touching people? What you need to deal with them? I think this is something we need to understand when you want to move in the Holy Spirit. Amen. How can you be convinced that you are righteous and your prayer will get answered and your prayer can change the atmosphere? This is something I'm going to preach in the camp this year about powerful prayer, principle of prayer. We call touching heaven, but changing earth. Okay, I try to remember the word. Touching heaven, changing earth. We're going to learn about prayer. Okay? You need, if you want to stay righteous, you need to confess your sin all the time. You need to believe that God forgive. You need to believe that God forget. And you should not dig it out. You should not keep bringing it back. Forget, move on, and say, I am righteous now. I can pray. I can pray for my son. I can pray for my daughters. I can command the devil go out of my house. I can command the job to come into my life. I can command the debt to go. You are to pray. You're going to be righteous people who pray with power and change the situation in your life. You know, all this I'm talking about confession of sin come to this point about faith. Amen. Let me tell you one story about a pastor. This pastor, a man who was very sick, came to him and asked him to pray for his sickness. But the pastor knew this member very well. And he knew that this man has been sinning again and again in the same sin and never really come out from it. So the pastor said, he talked to God, God, you know, I have to tell you the truth, God. I don't want to pray for this man. He keep going back to the same sin. And then God asked him, son, will I ask you to do something that I will not do it myself? And he said, oh, I think you tell me to do something that you will do yourself. Then God remind him, go to Matthew 18:21. When Peter asked Jesus, if a man sin against me, how many times should I forgive? And Peter said, 7 times. Jesus said, no, not 7 times. 77. 490 times. And then God spoke to this pastor, son, you may not want to forgive him this 50 times, but I still want to forgive him. Pray for him. So the man repented that day again, confessed his sin. The pastor lay hand and he was. So, another word. No matter how many times you fail or other people fail in sin, don't use this excuse that, oh, hopeless case. God will never forgive him anymore. I don't want to forgive this person anymore. That is the thought of man. God will keep forgiving you. Unlimited. 490 times mean never end. He will keep forgiving you every time you come back to him. And the same thing you do should do to one another in the church. No matter how many times people make mistake, keep forgiving them. Bless them. Love them. Amen. And that will set that person free and set yourself free. Because you forgive, you tell the IOU. And at the same time, you forgive yourself and you are free. You don't hold grudges against any person in the church. Amen. Do you learn something tonight? How many people want to be righteous? Amen. What do you do? Confessing your sin. Don't digging it out. Forget and move on. Let's look at a few scripture here before I end this teaching. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 1 to 4. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 1 to 4. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, Another word, in the Old Testament, the Jews had to bring animal sacrifice to the temple once a year to pay or cover for the sin of the nation, which they offer continually year by year. Make those who approach perfect, for then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. I will explain to you. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. The writer of Hebrews say like this, in the Old Testament, the blood of animal can overcover your sin once a year. Then the next year you have to do it again. The consciousness of sin is still inside you because you're still sinners. But the blood of Jesus Christ is different. Once you become a Christian, I want to explain this to help you to walk by faith. That once you believe in Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ will not only cover, but cleanse, wipe out, and make you have a clear conscience of sin. Once for all. You understand what I mean? It's better than the blood of the bull. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanse once for all. What you need to do is to confess. But you are not living in that sin anymore. The sin penalty anymore. You understand? Okay. Let me read this one more time. And I hope you convinced. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14. Talk about Hebrew first. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ is the answer to mankind. Amen. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Next time, we're going to learn about the confession of faith. Today we finish confession of sinners. We finish the confession of sin of believers. And it really relates to our faith. Because in order to pray with faith, you need to be convinced first that you are a righteous man and a righteous woman of God. And how to keep that righteousness? By confessing your sin whenever God speaks to you. And you keep your faith in Christ Jesus and in the blood of Jesus that cleanses your sin once for all. And then you are righteous, not because of good deeds, because you believe in the blood of Jesus and because you keep confessing your sin and believe that God forgets and never remember anymore. Amen. I know it's a simple teaching today, but it's practical. And I pray that you will use this lesson and practice what you learn today. Amen. We will pray. And then next time, don't forget, we're going to learn. Next one is going to be fun, about confession of faith. How you're going to confess your faith. If you want to see something happen, you believe in your heart, and you have to speak it. You need to speak. You cannot just keep your mouth shut. Speak. We need to practice this habit. Speak positive things. Speak things that God give you authority to speak. Amen. So next time we will learn about that. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you so much, Lord, for teaching us about confession. And we pray, Father, that you help us to go out and save sinners by your power of the Holy Spirit into the kingdom of God, bringing them to confess Christ with their mouth and believe in their heart, Father. Help us, Lord, to be righteous people by depending on the blood of Jesus Christ and also confessing our sin on a regular basis, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you reveal the truth in the Bible. And we pray, Father, that this weekend, Valentine weekend, We will have a lot of guests come in and many people will be saved this weekend, Father. Lord, build the faith of God in the heart of your people in this church. In Jesus' mighty name, Amen. Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.